Next item on the agenda is Mr. and Mrs. John McGannis. For the benefit of my colleagues from the shore, we put this one off until we got here because we knew that you would be interested in it.
Thank you, sir.
And Mr. McGannis, thank you for your patience in this matter. No, sir, not yet. We'll call you out.
Mr. and Mrs. John McGannis requests authorization to install a 179-foot-long stone riprap revetment adjacent to their property situated along Chesapeake Creek in Accomack County. Coastal primary sand dune and beach permit is required. Plot sheet showing the location of the project. Town of Nancock is here. Spine of the Eastern Shore US 13 is here. A little closer view showing Nancock, Nancock Creek, Chesapeake Creek, and as you can see, it's on the south side of Chesapeake Creek right at the mouth. In a little village called Crystal Beach, which is a bayfront community lying basically a mile west of South Chesapeake, which is our South Chesapeake. And the bayfront community was established somewhere in the late 40s or early 50s. Mr. and Mrs. McGannis proposed to install a 2-foot-high stone riprap revetment along the face of their existing primary sand dune. The revetment would then be covered with beach-quality sand and sprigged with American beach grass. The new channelward location of the dune will place the toe within 3 feet of the mean high watermark. It's an aerial showing the pocket beach. Here, Mr. McGannis' house is here. Another view, Mr. McGannis' house. I don't know who was on the board, I guess it was 4 or 5 years ago. We had an application to elevate this house in this area here by Mr. Schwartz. This is the proposed riprap structure right here, 179 feet. The distance from the corner of the deck to the high water mark is approximately 77 feet, and I was out there last week to measure that. And as you can tell, the farther the riprap is going to angle away from the house, so it's obviously a lot farther by the time you get to the other end. Some ground shots showing the location of the project. Flags, if you can see them. Yeah, there's a flag. That's going to be the toe location, proposed toe, and this is the back. Again, looking in the other direction, I do not see the toe. Let me get a close one. There's your toe. It'll be here, and as you can see, it's 2 or 3 feet in front of the mean high water mark. Applicant's drawings. This must have been taken a while back because the riprap structure would be along in here now. Again, a closer view. Showing a cross-sectional drawing where they would put stone riprap. Beach quality sand that would be brought in from off-site and sprigged over top of it. And by doing this, they're basically increasing the dune or forcing it to go channelward by up to 4 or 5 feet. One last aerial view showing the project. I'll leave this up, okay? And the reason we're here today is because ACMAC has not yet adopted the Model Coastal Primary Sand Dune and Beach Ordinance. As a result, the Commission is responsible for administering the provisions of this ordinance within the locality. We held a public hearing in ACMAC on September 7th to accept public comment. The applicant's agent, Mrs. Grimes, was there. No other person attended the hearing, and no public opposition has been received on the project to date. BIMS has reviewed the project and states that from a marine environmental perspective, the placement of rock or any armoring on coastal primary sand dunes is undesirable. They further state that the proposed approach would not particularly be effective in protecting the applicant's property and may actually accelerate the erosion. they would encourage the applicant to pursue a joint breakwater system with adjacent property owners in order to provide a more appropriate and effective shoreline protection alternative for the entire shoreline reach. In an effort to determine what the average erosion rate was in that general area, we called Scott Hardaway from BIMS, and he concluded that the erosion rate was approximately 1.2 feet per year, and this was based on the years from 1938 to 2002. Virginia, both the Department of Conservation and Recreation and the Department of Game and Inland Fishery anticipate no significant adverse impacts upon threatened or endangered wildlife resources, even though the records do show the federal, state, and state threatened northeastern beach tiger beetle is less than 2 miles from the protected site. They both recommend coordination with the Fish and Wildlife and the Virginia Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services on that issue. The Army Corps of Engineers has not taken jurisdiction since the project is above the high water mark and there's no vegetation in this area. In our summary and recommendation, the applicant's plan would physically alter the existing coastal primary sand dune. The relocation of the dune by artificial means to a more seaward location is likely to result in a loss of the sand stored in the dune and possibly the dune itself. This will reduce the integrity of the dune line and compromise the ability of the dune to protect structures from storm flooding and erosion. Section 28.2.1401B of the code, this is the powers and duties of the commission, states that the commission shall preserve and protect coastal primary sand dunes and beaches and prevent the destruction and prevent their destruction. Whenever practical, the commission shall accommodate necessary economic development in a manner consistent with the protection of these features. In addition, our own coastal primary sand dune beach guidelines, section 4, states that no permit alteration or construction upon any coastal primary sand dune shall take place which would impair the natural function of the dune, physically alter the contour of the dune, or destroy vegetation growing on the dune. Activities contrary to these standards will be permitted only if the commission finds that there will be no significant adverse ecological impact from the proposal or that the granting a permit for the proposal is clearly necessary and consistent with the public interest. Given the applicant's cottage is set back from the water 77 feet at its closest point, and the property has an erosion rate of 1.2 feet per year, revetment seems unnecessary at this time. Accordingly, after evaluating the merits of the project against the concerns expressed by VIMS and in keeping with the with our own coastal primary dune beach guidelines in section 28.2.1401B of the code, and after considering all the factors contained in section 28.2.1403.10 of the code, staff recommends that postpone riprap revetment be denied.
Is there any questions for Hank from staff? Mr. Fox,
can you show me on the picture here or another picture exactly where the dune is?
We've got a beach here.
Okay.
The dune is in this general area right here. You can see the vegetation going up here.
So the vegetation is on the dune?
That's correct. The beach grass.
Where would you say the dune starts?
Well, the dune itself starts right here at the edge of the beach.
At the edge of the vegetation?
Right. Mm-hmm. However, your jurisdiction is the entire beach.
Right.
The dune.
And show the markers where we're talking about putting the...
Let's see if I can get a question.
For the record, that was Mr. Schick.
Yeah. Sorry.
Okay.
I don't know if you can see that little red flag.
I see one right there in front of that stump there.
Okay.
And then that one.
That's
there.
The toe of the proposed dune for this dune. That's the toe. And
there's one at the base of the tree to the right.
Yeah, it's right there.
One, two, three. And then there should be another one up farther. And this right here is the landward side of the proposed
what
structure.
Mr. Fox.
Well, then is the the riprap going to really be on the dune or in front of the dune?
It's going to be starting here and continuing on in here. It's going to blend in.
Oh, okay.
If you look at these drawings, this line right here is existing and a little bit of toe. They'll be tying into the dune itself.
But the riprap is on top of the dune, and then the replenished sand is on top of that. I guess my question is, is the construction cutting into the dune or not?
No. I think what you're seeing here is they're going to start the riprap toe here, grade it back to here, and blend it into the dune.
So you're not cutting the dune?
No, they're enlarging the dune. They're armoring the dune and moving the whole dune line channelward by 3 to 5 feet.
Okay, so moving the dune line to the channel.
Exactly.
And so they're making the dune larger, not smaller.
They are. At the same time, it's going to stick out. It would be the equivalent of putting a bulkhead. It'd be the equivalent of arming with a bulkhead right here. And then you've only got, instead of the dune line being here, or the beach line being all the way back there, you're only going to have this as a beach. And once you get beyond the escarpment on either side, the dune is going to go back. It's not going to be armored. So this will stick out.
This will stick out. Do you expect scouring around the ends?
Yes.
Okay.
It's an armored shoreline.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Schick.
Yeah. So even though that it's going to have the appearance of a dune, it's really going to be an armored shoreline.
Absolutely, because the sand won't stay.
And now, is this going to be a maintenance problem as far as when you get a storm, then they're going to have the expense of replanting,
I believe so. Part of the VIMS report suggested that if this was approved, that it would have to be heavily quite a bit of sand put over top of the stone and sprigged, and this would have to be a maintenance issue and be brought up constantly.
Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As I understand VIMS concern, and you all echo this in your staff assessment, it's mainly a question of best management practices. That is to say that VIMS is actually saying that this structure will not be effective in protecting the property and may accelerate the erosion of material from the property. And I guess on the other side, one of your concerns is that, the risk of losing the property isn't imminent. You're saying that erosion is only occurring at a rate of 1.2 feet a year, and the house is 77 feet away. But at the same time, in the last 44 years, according to your estimate, they've lost 55 feet of property. It seems like they would be justified in trying to come up with an appropriate long-term remedy to protect their property.
Oh, I agree, long-term remedy.
Right, but your concern is strictly about the management practice, in other words, the technique that's being proposed.
I think they need, as a group, this community, Crystal Beach community, needs to come together and determine how to address the entire erosion issue there. Offshore breakwaters would be the more appropriate way to do this. They wouldn't necessarily have to be that large. But once this, if this is approved, this is going to accelerate, and this dune will probably deflate, which means you're going to have somebody coming back shortly and asking for an application or a permit to do the same here, and then down and so forth. And then where they're, you've only got 3 feet from the high water mark now. That's all the beach they'll have, and it will only get less. So they've got a very nice looking, beautiful beach down here now that they can use. If it's all armored, it's all going to go.
But if the applicant comes back and applies an amended form for a breakwater field, is that something you could support?
I think we could. Okay. Yes.
And that would add to his beach too, considerably.
Yes. But it's a community effort in order to do that, and whether or not you can get a community together, particularly one that's as old as this, that probably does not have any association involved in it at all. And my guess is, what I know about this area, a lot of people are from Pennsylvania, and they're not, they don't live there full time, so getting everybody together may be difficult.
Any other questions for staff?
So just
Mr. Tankard.
To me, what you're saying, Mr. Badger, is that if they put this riprap in, that the erosion around, and particularly to the south of the riprap, would increase in its pace?
I believe that would be correct.
Okay.
But if they do nothing,
Mr. Fox,
the dune erodes. The dune will continue to erode at 1.2 feet per year, so we'll lose the dunes.
Yes, and you can see where there has been erosion. Here's a tree that's been cut off.
Yeah.
So it's evident that there's an issue here.
And I would imagine when it, and this is only a guess, I'm only a part of an engineer. If you got through the dune and with erosion, and then you get into Mr. McGinnis's yard, it may erode even faster without the protection of the dune, which would be eroded, totally eroded away.
Potentially, yes.
Yeah. So if you went 76 feet over the past 64 years, I think not even Mr. Robbins would be around, but the house would probably go in another 64 years.
64.16 to be exact.
I've got less than 10 years here. I don't care.
One other question.
Mr. Schick.
Is there any way that they could do an offshore revetment, or offshore breakwater, to protect their own beach? I mean, is there not enough width of the lot?
I don't think they have it about 150 feet
right.
wide. It's at an angle, and that's why you're probably at 79.
I guess we can quit seeing.
Vims may be able to answer that better, but I just don't see it.
I'd like to hear from Vims on this matter as well. It's critical, whichever.
Law Varnell, Virginia Institute of Marine Science. First, I want to clear up the erosion rate. That is not a linear process. 1.2 feet does not go every year. That is a long-term average, which actually in this part of the bay, it is mainly, it's a very sand-rich area, as you can see from the bars offshore there. It's a very sand-rich little pocket area. 1.2 feet, there is error in our estimation of that, because that's based on old charts and unrectified surveys. However, we do the best we can, and that's what we try to do on this. But it is mainly storm-driven. It is not a yearly erosion rate, and please don't think that. I wanted to clear that up first. What happens on especially the upper part of the shore, which is just a big lump of sand anyway, when I say the shore, I'm talking about the bay side now only, especially in the upper bay, are when your nor'easters and other storms from the ocean turn and have northwest, large northwest blows with a high water. That's when you have erosion over there. Now, this area particularly here, and this is part of the study that some of you were presented at VIMS not too long ago, this particular reach of shore was a part of that, actually. There's some offshore islands that also help, marsh islands that also help that northwest exposure there. It's a very sand-rich area. And, yes, to answer a very quick question about the offshore breakwaters, the smaller the parcel that you're trying to dictate for shoreline erosion from that, the less effective it will be. The larger the reach, the more effective you can design the structures to do that with. That's why we and staff here say that it needs to be on a, quote, reach perspective, which is what you're looking at now is a very small reach. From the perspective of what was proposed, and for the benefit of the newer members, we do not actually consult with the applicant unless they approach us to give our recommendations. We respond specifically to what was proposed, and that's what our comments are limited to from your report that you have. We do have recommendations in those. But as proposed, the veneer, we've seen this over at least my 20 years in this business, many times this has been proposed. And in these areas, Mr. Fox had asked where the dune is. It's a very low area. Even the upland is low. And to do erosion control on this, from a mainly a storm event, not normal wind and wave action, because it's very shallow offshore, which abates a lot of the erosive wave forces that occur normally on a shoreline. It's not a freestanding structure. I mean, it can the beach in front of it will continue to erode because the beach is not protected. It will erode up to that structure and may increase the erosion because of that, because it is a hardened structure. If it is overtopped and scoured behind from a storm event, then it will erode behind, and it will not be a freestanding structure. So we're not really certain what the effectiveness of the proposed structure is here on that. So that is why in these very low, sand-rich areas, offshore breakers, you want to protect what is protecting your property naturally, and that's the offshore breakwaters would be the most effective in this type of shoreline situation.
Any questions for Mr. Tanker?
You know the Bayside apparently, and what would you classify this highly erodible? I mean, what's your feeling of the erosion that's seen here compared to the rest of the
Eastern Shore? Of course, that's a time relative question, but I guess in the time of ours of what we had done from when we had data, as you can see, it's protected by a headland from the south, from the creek, and from the north there. It's fairly comfortable in the way it is right now. We haven't seen excessive erosion in any time in this area, especially in the upper part of the bay where the offshore marsh islands are. But I can't answer that for the future.
Any other questions? Thank you, Locke. We'll hear from the applicant. Now we'll find out exactly what is the reason behind this application, because I sure want to hear it.
Are you privileged this morning or not? You weren't? Solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God.
Yep.
For the record, state your name, please, and who you represent.
I'm John McGinnis, and I'm the property.
All right, sir. Good to have you here.
Thank you. I've owned the property since 2000, and 1.2 feet per year would be a conservative rate of erosion that we've been experiencing. My guess is I've probably lost every bit of 10 feet on the dune. I don't know how to move this back to the other pictures, but and I think from the plot, start with that plot where you said it was from a few years back, the one with the house on it, the flat.
Oh,
13.
Oh.
Yeah. And you had said that we're proposing it in this area because this is from some time ago. Well, the home is 18 years old, so that's when this property line was done, and so it's back into here now. And the property owner at this point here, their well is about right there. And yes, if my proposal is approved, they'll probably want to have do the same thing because they have to protect their well. And so they will probably want to extend it southward. And I have gone to the property owners and tried to get their interest on an offshore breakwater type of a system, and they said, absolutely not. We don't have that kind of money to spend, and we're just not interested. We don't want to look at it. And I guess the people further back in the pocket here, they're not getting as much erosion. I think most of my, you know, it's probably moving south, migrating south. And well, I have a photograph here. I don't photographs from 2001, and
I'm not sure.
Mr. McGinnis, for the record, we're going to have to keep those for 30 days, too.
Keep them as long as you want. I have copies.
All right, sir.
But, I was going to show that there's another large tree in the photograph in 2001, and that's that stump that you saw. This tree here is in 2001, and, you know, when I bought the property, there was earth around it, and I started noticing that, you know, the roots were sticking out and this and that. Next thing you know, the tree's over, and with it, a large chunk of the clay bank. And it's a very low dune, and my plan was to basically enhance the dune, and yes, it's going to armor it, and yes, in a hurricane with big wave action, maybe it will beat the sand off of the face of the thing, which I could replenish. We don't get high surf, really, but without the, you know, I'll lose 5 feet in a good hurricane. And, you know, I really didn't want to lose the other tree on the opposite end. And let's see, how do I go? I can show you the stump on the beach, and that'll give you a little bit of a, because when you say 1.2 feet per year, and that's an average, it's been every bit of that. And, you know, my neighbors all know what I'm proposing. Nobody has objected to it, and I'm planning to sand over. This is the so that I'm not covering any. This is the existing beginning. This is the escarpment, which is the cut into the clay where the beach grass starts. So I'm just basically bringing it out, building it up with lots of sand, sprigging it, and see how it performs. If it performs horribly, and my neighbor, you know, we can always do a breakwater also, but I have to do something. I can't just sit there and watch my yard melt into the bay. I mean, you know, it's not going to get any better. So, you know, I'm prepared to protect my property, and some of my neighbors aren't yet quite ready to do anything with it. So when they get to that point, they're gonna want to do something too. So I don't know. I mean, it's all well and good to say, hey, you should do a community breakwater offshore, but you know, that could be a $150,000 investment, and some of these people don't have that kind of money. But yet, if they see that, you know, if we can get a positive result, I'm not interested in wrecking the shoreline. So if a better thing can come up in the future, we can add that. You know, it's just because I did this wouldn't prevent a offshore breakwater. And like I said, this fella here, yeah, he's going to probably want to do, he's going to want to come in with the same application to armor his shore. There's a big tree here, and it's starting to creep back in here, and the roots are close to being exposed, and I'm just trying to keep the place at 77 feet from my porch out here. You know, if it's 1.2, I'd say it's more than that, but maybe that's just because I own the property. But it feels more like 2 feet. You know,
and I'll bet 2 feet seems like 4 feet when it is, doesn't it?
You watch the trees going over like this and everything, and I'm not chewing into the dune to build this thing. I'm planting dune grass right over it. Now, okay. If I go back. How do you go back there? Back to the beach where I could show the stump. Yeah, okay, that stump right there is that tree that was in the photograph that I showed you. See right there, that islet that I'm holding my sailboat down with, when I put that in, the dune grass was back here. I used to push the thing up into the grass.
And how long ago would that have been?
within 2000 is when I have had the place, and I put that boat. I got it, I guess, about a year after I had the place, and you know, these things used to be back in the grass. So my feeling is, you know, none of my property adjacent properties owners have any complaints. This fellow's got a boardwalk he built out across the marsh and put in out there. Nobody else has a complaint about it, and I figured it's a good experiment, if nothing else. I mean, it can.
I have one question for you. I note that on that stump, all of the roots, are all the roots now no longer associated with the shore? Basically, are they in the sand? Or have they been removed from the sand? And,
well, that's, just from erosion and everything.
The stump has not anywhere been located shoreward.
Oh, no, I haven't.
No, I'm just saying by flood tide or anything like that.
No, because it's very shallow out there. We only have a couple of feet at high tide. And so you don't get pounding that would pick that thing up and throw it shoreward. That's,
how about the other tree over there? That is naturally laid down.
This tree here?
No, sir. The one that's laid down beside your catamaran.
Yeah, that guy. That stump was there when I bought the property. It was in the dunes.
Still in the substrate?
Yeah. And all these cedar trees, you see these things? They're just getting pounded. And if you step back from the shoreline, I don't have a photograph of it, but I went in, when you stand back in the water and you look at the shoreline, right where my property is sort of like at the convex of the cove,
mm-hmm.
and all my dune grass is like brown at the base, and down towards the right where they're this way, where they're more sheltered in the corner, their grass is, you know, more thriving.
Okay.
So I'm just getting this chewing into the escarpment.
Let me see if the commission has any questions for you. Any questions for Mr. McGinnis before the from the commission? We've heard the case. Thank you, sir.
Can I just offer one more thing?
Yes, sir.
And just I want to reemphasize that I did try to sell the community on an offshore breakwater. I've been to Cape Charles and played golf at Bay Creek, and I've looked at those, and they're decent. You know, but they didn't even want to, it wasn't even a subject for discussion. And again, that being the case, nobody has any complaint with, none of my adjacent property owners have any complaint with me doing.
Well, they're not here to oppose it.
No, and they're probably very interested in seeing how it performs.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Matters before the commission for discussion and or action. Mr. Holland.
Mr. Chairman. I tend to go along with the applicant. I think he's done everything possible. He's trying to save his property. I think he's come up with a good solution. And I would move that we approve the applicant's application.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Mr. McCluskey. Further discussion?
Yes.
Mr. Fox, Mr. Schick, then Mr. Robbins. Sorry, I turn to the right all the time.
I'm concerned that Mr. McGinnis is losing his dune anyway. And I know that we are required to preserve dunes, but if we allow him, if we deny him the right to do something, the dune will be lost. And I recognize that a breakwater, an offshore breakwater, is a, it appears to me to be a better solution. That's what VIMS recommends. I'm a little troubled by some of VIMS' comments that if we do armor this, then it may scour out around the ends. And I don't know how to deal with that. But I think to do nothing in this case is probably the wrong thing.
Mr. Schick.
Yeah, this is a classic problem that we've seen time and time again where, you know, we've built on the waterfront, which is a moving, living shoreline, and all of a sudden we're surprised when it starts attacking our structures. To do this is not going to solve the problem. it's going to increase the problem for his neighbors. I know they're not complaining now, but they certainly will in the future. An offshore revetment or breakwater is the solution, but I understand that he can't do it himself. The community doesn't want to do it with him. So you're caught between doing something that's not going to help or doing nothing which isn't going to help either. So, and that's a tough decision to make. So that's my comment, and we'll see what other people have to say.
Mr. Robb.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You're quite welcome, sir.
I guess I sympathize very personally with the property owner. I think the rate of loss that's been characterized by staff as being relatively low is very significant to the property owner. They've lost quite a bit of property over time, and they obviously do need a long-term solution. But I think that's what VIMS's comments speak directly to. VIMS, in their assessment, is saying that this is not the right long-term solution. They're saying that it may actually accelerate erosion and will not be effective in protecting the property. The best solution, of course, is a neighborhood-wide, area-wide offshore breakwater system. And that, it appears from testimony we've heard from the applicant, may not be realistic. But I think, based on VIMS's comment and testimony today, that the next best alternative is a breakwater system in front of this property. And I think, as I understand VIMS's comments, that's clearly preferable to what's been proposed. And I regret that there's not more interaction, I guess, or feedback during the application process between the applicant and our advisors. But I think, in the end, that's the best remedy, and I think we should encourage the applicant in that direction to come back with an application for an offshore breakwater. And I would offer a substitute to deny the motion, to deny the application as presented.
Mr. Taggart?
If we look at Section 28-2-.2401, powers and duties of the Commission states that the Commission shall preserve and protect coastal primary sand dunes and beaches and prevent their dispollution and destruction. You know, I think that what we'll see here is, I understand Mr. Fox's concern that he will lose his dune, and there isn't much there, but the bayside in this area, this is what dunes look like. He will not only destroy his dune, but I believe that, as Vim seems to point out, we will destroy the dunes of the adjacent property owner, which you can see has taken place in other locations along the bayside. This erosion, I know very well. I have a farm on the bayside in the most, probably one of the most significant erodible portions of the bay. And it's not a month that goes by that I'm not losing something. But at the same time, those are the problematic misfortunes of living on the water. And I see this solution as being one that, given the code, I don't know how we can accept this solution. And so I would agree with Mr. Robbins.
Is that a second to the substitute motion?
It is.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
May we ask a question of them?
Absolutely.
Would it work for Mr. McGinnis to put an offshore breakwater just in front of his property? It was my understanding from what you all said that probably would not be effective.
Well, the effectiveness is based on how large the shoreline is. There have been effective breakwaters in small areas. I mean, there's another one in front of you today, Gaby and Baskets in front, that have been... They were very attractive to property owners for a while in low energy areas. So those can be effective. In the past, this is a very low area, and there's no getting around that, and there is erosion occurring at the rate of at our best average, 1.2 feet per year. We have in the past, although it has been with higher ground behind it, recommended that you put a structure landward of those dunes. The one thing I can tell you is over the history of this area that we have data for, it has maintained itself as a low dune and a beach. So the erosion has maintained the character of that shoreline. So I would offer that to you from your direct question that an offshore breakwater in any fashion would help to maintain some of the sand in the area that would keep it from going offshore. That would, in some way, I cannot tell you how effective that would be. Relative to what is proposed, I will say that it will be a maintenance thing because dunes and beaches are formed by wind and waves, wind being a very important factor that is one of the more erosive features of a dune on a daily basis instead of waves. And dunes feed the beach that is actually keeping that shoreline from eroding at the slow rate that it is. So if you take that sand away, put it behind the riprap, you lose the feed to the dune. You lose the feed from the dune to the beach. That's essentially what a dune is a warehouse for the beach of sand.
But you could put an offshore revetment or gabion baskets or something off there, and that would protect the dune.
To a certain degree, yes. Not to the degree that it would in a larger application. That is true.
And would that be a heavy maintenance item for Mr. McGinnis, probably?
For the offshore breakwaters?
Right.
Generally, the only maintenance we have seen is, especially in an area like this where the stone would not have to be near as large as Bay Creek or any other large open bay areas, is minimal stone movement because a lot of times on storm areas in these areas, you know, they've overtopped so much that they're not in large storm events that they're not affected that much. Nourishment of sand within the systems also helps. I mean, all the breakwaters that are on the open bay are nourished with sand to create that pocket that you see that creates that stability, mm-hmm. actually to an algorithm that we can tell you.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, there could be something done offshore. It is more expensive, of course, than what is proposed or what might be put behind it on the upland.
Dr. McConaughey?
Yeah, you talking about a structure on the upland. What kind of structure are you talking about?
There have been bulkheads placed in the upland behind the dune because it is an area that says it's just a last refuge if something occurs, or there have been mounds of rock placed, towed in, of course.
So it would only become effective if the dune
would become
done.
Effective at the time the dune and the beach were eroded back to it, yes.
Any other questions? Not sure. But thank you, Lala. Well, any further discussion? Mr. Shedd?
I think that probably a discussion with, you know, with Vims from the applicant could probably help him in designing. I know it's a free service to the community.
That's exactly where I was going.
And really, this solution is not a long-term solution, and it really is not even a short-term solution. An Ernesto-type storm, you know, would cause a great amount of erosion in this situation. And I think a small gabion basket-type system, which is not, you know, a huge cost compared to the armor bolt, combined with increasing the sand on the dune and replanting, you know, would be the best way to go. And I support the motion.
Oh. Which motion?
Which one? The one that's up before us, the substitute motion, yes.
The motion to deny. I'll tell you where I think we are. Mr. Tankard is very accurate in his recital of the Code of Virginia pertaining to 1401B, the commission shall preserve and protect coastal primary sand dunes. And that's a charge. That's a very direct charge. One could argue that's the letter of the law and the spirit of the law, but the General Assembly was very direct when they came forward and said that is a mandate of this commission. Lyle spoke earlier about the fact that VIMS did not provide assistance to applicants without them asking for assistance. As was properly pointed out, that assistance is available. If we're going to deviate in any way from our charge as far as the Code of Virginia is concerned, as far as the preservation of the Coastal Primary Sand Dune Act, I would certainly like the deviation to be justified with the best information that we have at our avail from the experts in this situation. So having said that,
Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
No.
That's correct. Motion carries 8-1.
Thank you.
At this time, I would like to, if I could possibly have a matter of personal, point of personal privilege. I have here in the audience today, who's out running a few errands today and doing what moms do, my wife, Amy. Amy, if you'd stand up. And on the event of his fourth birthday today, in about an hour and a half, my four-year-old son, Connor. So, Amy and Connor, thank you. It's 11:45. I think we could take another item prior to lunch, and then we'll break for lunch after item 8. Item 8, Ken Murdoch. Mr. Holland.